New York has more than 1 million adults with a disability, and while the state's employment rate for these New Yorkers is above the national average, it is below states like California, Texas, and Florida. And at a recent assembly hearing, lawmakers took stock of this economic landscape and heard testimony on how to improve this picture. One of those legislators was Assemblyman Chris Burdick, a Westchester County Democrat who's chair of the chamber's subcommittee on employment opportunities for people with disabilities. And he joins us on the phone to talk about this issue. Welcome to the show, Assemblymember.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your having me.
So in your opening remarks at the hearing, you talked about the need to change the landscape in order to create more opportunities. So based on the more than 10 hours of testimony that you heard, what changes, if any, can be easily implemented at the state level to improve the employment picture for New Yorkers with disabilities? Is there any low-hanging fruit as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think there may be. I think that we can take a look at some of the systems that OPWDD and AccessVR use. For example, there seems to be duplication in terms of getting entry into their respective systems, and they ought to be able to avoid what I think is a waste of resources, both for the agencies as well as those trying to get into the system, and come up with one unified application form and so forth to get into the system. That may seem like a trivial matter, but I think that in terms of both the agencies as well as the communities that they're trying to serve, it is significant. You know, I think that that's one thing that they can do. Another thing that I think is very immediate, and that is that there has been a hiring freeze in OPWDD that makes it very difficult for them to carry out their mission. And I think that that hiring freeze needs to be lifted and vacant positions need to be filled.
I was struck during the hearing by a back and forth between Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon and Assemblyman Tom Abinanti, who chairs the Chamber's Committee on People with Disabilities, about the number of New Yorkers with a disability who are unemployed at this moment. They kind of had a back and forth that suggested there was some ambiguity and highlighted what seemed to me like the need for better data. Is that your impression of things as well, that we need a better sense of what the employment landscape actually looks like for New Yorkers with disabilities? And if we do need additional data, how do we go about getting it, considering that whether a person has a disability can sometimes be a personal issue that someone might not want to share?
No, I think you raised a very good point. I think it's difficult. I think that there are privacy issues that are involved. I think that those were valid points in response that the agencies gave to us. I nonetheless think that we have a pretty good idea that we're not doing a good enough job and that the unemployment rate is unacceptably high, and we need to identify the barriers and we need to figure out how to overcome them. And that's why I put some emphasis on the need for hiring people to do the basic job. I mean, right now you have what one would consider to be pretty trivial decisions that OPWDD would make. For example, on a self-direction budget, and an application is put in for minor change that does not affect the overall budget, and it takes months to get approvals. Well, that's unacceptable, and I think that that's a reflection on them simply not being sufficiently staffed.
At the hearing, did you get a sense of the overall impact of the pandemic on the job employment status of New Yorkers with disabilities? Because it seems like on the one hand, it's obviously a net negative because the employment picture overall has worsened. But I have to imagine there have been some opportunities created by it because there are so many employers looking to hire and so many people who don't want to work or for whatever reason can't work, and thus potentially opening up jobs for New Yorkers with disabilities who might not have, you know, gotten a look the first time around from employers.
Well, I think that there are opportunities, but one of the main things that came out of the hearing is the need to customize employment. That is to say, match the individual and that individual's abilities with the job itself. And I think that part of that is really going to need to go back to the perceptions and attitudes that employers hold and the larger society holds. And that is that people who are intellectually or developmentally disabled, the great bulk of them can perform in certain jobs. And businesses that make the effort to hire people with disabilities have successfully and profitably done so. You know, we heard from Price Chopper, we heard from Goodwill Industries, we heard from Spectrum. These are all models that can be replicated. But what this relates to, though, is the willingness on the part of businesses to look at that and not apply any preconceived notions that they may have of people with disabilities. So I think that, yes, we need to encourage businesses to see the opportunities of being able to work from home that they learned through the pandemic, and include incentives. And in many instances, incentives exist, and businesses may not be aware of them.
Early on in the hearing, you asked a question, I think it was to a member of OPWDD, about the sub-minimum wage, and they kind of deferred on that, noting that it's a policy issue up for legislators to debate. And in the legislature, there is some disagreement about the merits of a sub-minimum wage, with proponents saying it creates opportunities for New Yorkers with disabilities that wouldn't otherwise have them, and detractors arguing employers should be paying more and that it wouldn't negatively impact the economic landscape to raise that rate. Did you hear anything from advocates or businesses about the sub-minimum wage later on in the hearing?
We did, but I think that you're correct in what you heard from it, that there is disagreement in the community, in both the disability and advocacy community, as well as in the business community on that. I think that we need to look at it further, but as I understand it too, that there are federal guidelines that would have to be looked at as well. It's not merely a matter of state law. One of the things that also came out is the preferred source requirements under the New York State finance law, and how compliance with it is uneven and inconsistent with agencies lacking in understanding, or in some cases just disregarding them. And so one of the things that I think that we need to look at is amending the New York State finance law in order to provide an agency that has regulatory authority to ensure compliance. And that is something that we need to look at, because I think that that can dramatically increase the number of companies that do business with the state of New York that hire people with disabilities.
Why do you think the application of it has been so uneven at this point?
Well, I think that part of it, as I mentioned, is that agencies may lack an understanding of those preferred source requirements, preference requirements. And I think we need to do a better job in educating them. And I think that if we had an agency that had the authority and the responsibility for ensuring that those preferred source requirements are being followed, we'd have a better chance of having more people with disabilities that work for companies that are vendors or contractors with the state being able to have an opportunity to work.
Through the course of this hearing, you heard not only from state officials, but also people who are on the ground dealing with these issues and dealing closely with New Yorkers with disabilities. And I'm curious, from those people who are living this on a day-to-day basis, did you learn anything new? Were there any surprises over the course of this hearing that maybe were counterintuitive to expectations you had heading in?
You know, one of the things that I would say was a bit surprising is I knew that what was in place needed a good deal of attention, but I was really struck by the fact that people, even those that had the resources or the education and the time and the ability to grapple with everything before them, it's incredibly bewildering and complex, and the agencies that provide benefits, there's insufficient collaboration and partnership among them. It tends to be rather disjointed and hardly cohesive. So someone that's trying to find out what benefits to which they're entitled, you know, it's an arduous process, and I think it desperately needs to be simplified. And I support the idea as an example of establishing an office of the advocate for people with disabilities, establish in the governor's office a task force and perhaps someone who really is responsible for trying to move things forward. We need to streamline the process. We need to simplify. And I think that that's something that it can be done. And I think we need to work at it in order to achieve those outcomes.
Stepping back from the hearing and looking at your role more broadly, what sort of learning curve has there been for you in your new role as chair of the Assembly Subcommittee on Employment Opportunities for People with Disabilities? Did you come with knowledge about this issue, or have you been essentially thrown into the deep end on a new topic for you?
I would say, to be candid, it's much more the latter, that, you know, it's been a very steep learning curve, and I try to grasp and absorb these things quickly. I hope that I have done that, and I've got a lot more to go, to be perfectly candid with you. And I found that the learned a heck of a lot in the 10 hours of testimony, and it was a long day, but I think a very worthwhile day, and I'm very excited about the prospects going forward. I think we have a window of opportunity, and I've been encouraging my colleagues in the Assembly as well as the advocacy community to persevere and to press forward.
Well, thinking about the opportunity moving forward, you touched on the need for continued advocacy during the hearing, during your opening remarks, you know, essentially keeping the pedal to the metal. But, you know, when we get to, say, the budget time and every constituency is pushing to have their interests advanced, are you concerned at all that this group of New Yorkers who traditionally have found themselves on the outside looking in will still face a major uphill battle in terms of advancing their agenda?
I'm honestly cautiously optimistic that we are going to make progress. I believe that Governor Hochul will be receptive and open to recommendations, be they legislative, be they budgetary. And I am, as I say, I'm optimistic. I think we will get some changes achieved here. And again, not without the advocates helping us push on that. But I do think that we're going to make some headway. Are we going to achieve everything that we want to achieve? Certainly not. And it's going to take time to remake the system, or at least make some reforms in the system. But I'm pretty tenacious, and I think a lot of the advocates are very tenacious, and I think we're going to stick to it.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblyman Chris Burdick. He is a Westchester County Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Subcommittee on Employment Opportunities for People with Disabilities. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciated the opportunity.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.